We are at the bottom of the 10 o'clock hour. Welcome to a Friday edition of the Midday Show. Ed with you this morning, and thank you so much for being here throughout the morning show. Thank you for all your responses to our subjects earlier. And every once in a while, I get an opportunity to do something really cool, and I think that this is one of those opportunities. I get to meet young people that make a difference. I get to meet young people that are contributing to our collective history and our collective knowledge of history, if you will. I'm going to introduce you in just a couple of minutes to Eliana and Zoe. I first want to introduce you to Sarah Benson. And if you don't know what the Flow program is, it's a place where kids experience powerful connections, right? With academic content, with each other, and with the community in general. And to tell us more about that and these two kids we got with us today. I shouldn't even call them kids. These two young adults we have with us today. Sarah Benson. Welcome, Sarah.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here today. So we'll meet Zoe and Eliana in just a moment. Tell us about the Flow program.
So the Flow program at the high school is our cross-curricular program that's focused on the environment and the environmental topics specific to Laguna Beach. Our goal is to have students ask themselves, how can we be better stewards of our environment, and to draw connections between the content areas so that we're not separate silos in education, but that students can see how English, science, art, history, they all are interconnected and they're authentically real world applicable. Right. So we want them to make those applications to how they're learning and what we're doing at the high school applies in the real world.
Right. That is fabulous. A wonderful idea. And for years, I had become frustrated with that disconnect. Mm-hmm. There was a disconnect. And I think that this program really ties everything together. How long has Flow been around?
So last year was our inaugural year. So okay. We're in year two.
All right. Well, congratulations. Tell me a little bit about IDEA authentic assessment. What does that mean when I say that?
So what that means is, you know, classically in education, especially in my department, which is English, you write a paper and your English teacher reads it and then it just disappears into the ether.
Right.
So our goal is for students to have experiences where what they're producing at school has some authentic relevance and an authentic audience. And then it goes beyond just for your teacher, but that they can see the real world applications for their learning.
Oh, that's fantastic. And with that in mind, I was here 30 years ago when we all collectively experienced one of the biggest tragedies to happen in Laguna Beach, and that was the Laguna Beach fires. The 30th anniversary is coming up in October of
Correct.
This year. And to lend us kind of a historical view of that, we have with us Zoe Tran and Eliana Merritt. Welcome, ladies. How are you today?
Good. How are you?
Doing very well. Thank you.
Thank
you for being here. I really appreciate you both being here. And I'll start with Eliana. Eliana, tell me about your research on the fire itself.
I talked to my interviewee, and she actually had a lot to say. She knew the exact date, all the houses that had burned, and that was really interesting.
Mm-hmm. But who was your interviewee?
Laura Jaeger.
Okay.
And she actually called up one of her friends, Mari Vertigo, and I interviewed her as well. But I didn't focus a lot about the fire in my article. I focused more about how the community helped the citizens who had been affected by the fire.
Right. And when you first got the assignment, was that immediate? The goal was automatically in your mind, or did it take a while to develop that goal?
I didn't really know what I was going to do. So then I just kind of did my interview, and then I looked at the quotes that I had gotten, and I was like, oh, I could draw an interesting story with this.
Right, right. And Eliana, tell me about the drive to yours.
Oh, Zoe.
I'm sorry. Zoe, I apologize.
So I interviewed my neighbors, Susie and Quincy, and when I was interviewing them, I just found it so interesting because their house hadn't been burnt down like a lot of people that we know, but they had to evacuate from their home, and for a long time during the fire, they didn't really know what was happening because, like, 30 years ago, there wasn't social media, and there wasn't, like live camera action at all times that you could access on the internet. So right. for a long time, they really thought that their house had been burnt down. Right. And I just thought it would be important to also highlight, like, not only was there devastation after the fire, but for everyone in the city, they had been affected during the fire because they didn't know what was happening to their houses and things
right.
like that.
Right. And how long were they out of their house? How long until they were able to go back to their house?
So,
or even have them, a house to go back to, really.
I recall them saying they evacuated and they were away from their house for about 3 days. And for about two of those days, they had no idea what happened to their house. And because the aerial footage back then was not like as high quality, they actually thought their house had burned down.
Right.
But luckily, one of the neighbors that was still in the neighborhood called them and let them know that their house hadn't burned down,
right.
thankfully.
As you both look out of this window and we face the hills in this window, I remember very specifically these hills were on fire. As you weren't around then, do you imagine the fire? Do you look at Laguna's landscape and go, wow, this was all on fire at one point? Did that happen? Okay.
Yeah, when we saw photos too of like the fire across all the hills, and I was like, wow, I've walked on trails here, but this was all on fire.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. And Eliana, what kind of help did you find that Lagunans lent each other? What kind of generosity did you find?
I found that the community really came together to support the physical needs of like each other. Like they were handing out food and clothes and all these basic items, which was really helpful to get people back on their feet if they had like lost everything in the fire.
Right.
But the other thing that I touched on was that from what I could see, there wasn't a lot of emotional help. Like I didn't hear a lot about like therapy and trauma.
Right. Or support groups of any kind, right? Okay. And after having finished writing the article and after having finished with all the interviews, do you find that that would have been very helpful?
I think that would have been very helpful because I think when there's like a disaster, most people think about like, oh my goodness, we need to help people get back on their feet with all these, like, we need to help them, give them food, clothes,
right.
all these basic necessities. But you don't think about the emotional trauma that people go through,
right.
and that can haunt them way later into life.
Right. Well put. So Zoe, as you look at us today, as you see this community today, did the fire in any way, if it did teach us anything, what did it teach us?
For one, I think it really taught us, obviously, about fire safety.
So
right. a lot of our houses are much safer. And I remember Susie and Quincy both talk about the goats. We love the goats, especially when we're on trails.
I love the goats.
They're so cute.
Yeah.
But I also think it taught us a lot about like how strong we are as a community, because like Eliana said, after the fire, a lot of people helped each other out and
right.
everyone really came together, and we realized that like we can get through this as a community, get past the fires, and everyone has been affected. So as one, this is something we're all dealing with.
Right. And Sarah, the subject of the fire itself, this is a subject that you came up with?
Yes. So FLO stands for fire, land, ocean, water.
Right.
So freshman year English, we dive into fire, and what better way to make it so relevant
right.
than to talk about the fire that happened in our own community.
Right. And were you a part of our community then?
No, okay. My grandparents lived here at the
okay.
time, and my in-laws, but no.
How did their house bear? Were they caught up in the fire?
So my grandparents were fine, but my sister-in-law did lose her home.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So did you lend any personal stories to either Zoe or Eliana?
Not these two students, but last year my family member came in and provided, he had artifacts, the just couple porcelain things that they had from their home,
right.
and the articles from the 93, and actually bringing in those photos and whatnot.
Right. And as we move through this year, and as we start to recognize, as we get closer to October and we start to recognize that it's becoming the 30th anniversary of the fires, these two, by the way, are there more? I should ask that right now. How many students submitted?
So
to
the
this?
Freshman class wrote articles. So
wow.
hundreds
wow.
of articles. And the top 20 are going to be collected in a digital anthology.
Oh,
and these were our top two out of those top 20.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. How tough is it to go through those and narrow that down to 20? It had to be an impossible task.
It was very challenging for me. The students did an exemplary job.
Right.
It was really just rewarding for me as a teacher to see how students really tackled the project.
Right.
And the different angles that they took, I really emphasized with their, you know, this is an event that happened 30 years ago.
Right.
So what new angle are you presenting? You
right.
know, how are you making it relevant to today? And so it was really fun to see how they did that.
I love that. I love that you did that. So the 20 will live forever. Where will these articles live?
So there's a digital anthology. It'll be available on our website. We have a Flow website, which you can get through the district website in town. And yeah, you can link to it and flip through the pages and see all the articles that those students wrote.
That is so cool. Now, Flow has some other things coming up. Today, obviously, you're here, and we're glad we're great for that. But there's also the Junior Ocean Film Showcase, and that's coming up on, wow, that's right around the
Monday
corner.
Monday night.
Yeah. So tell us about that, please.
So we partnered with Coast Film Music Film and Music Festival,
right.
and we had all our juniors, the entire junior class, choose an ocean topic of their choice and create a film or animatic on that topic. So they did have to research and incorporate their research into the film, but the top 12 films we're going to present at our showcase Monday night.
Oh, that is fantastic. Mm-hmm. And where does this showcase take place?
At our artist theater at the high school, 6 o'clock.
I love that. I love this. And then just two nights later is the sophomore spoken word showcase.
Correct.
Tell us about that.
The sophomores study land. So they wrote poetry anthologies on a land topic of their choice. Again, taking research and creating out of it, using
right.
their creative muscles to produce something. So I'm taking a group of 10 sophomores up to Thurston Middle School, and they will be reciting their poems and talking about the creative process
right.
to the sixth graders.
I've never suffered a moment of envy like I'm suffering right now. I'm like, well, where was my high school doing this stuff? This is really, really great stuff. And allowing everyone to be as creative as they can and
correct.
To explore their creativity,
correct.
Nothing is better. And then we talked, you and I, earlier, you saw the Weiland masterpiece that's on
yes.
our wall. You're doing something with Weiland, right?
Yes. So on March 30th, we are bringing the Weiland Mobile Museum, their mobile learning center,
right.
to El Moro Elementary School. And the third and fourth graders will be able to go through there and learn about watersheds and water conservation. And our high schoolers are going to serve as the docents. So they'll be walking those students through.
That is fantastic.
So the goal of Flow is really to connect,
right.
to connect the subject matter, to connect our students to our other schools in the district and to connect to community partners.
This is better than I had imagined. So
oh,
to Eliana and Zoe, so this year it's fire. Next year you're pretty sure it's going to be land, right? They
mm-hmm.
they move up like that. So
mm-hmm.
next year it's land. Do you already have an idea of what you want to do or have you not let the cat out of the bag as to the assignment?
It's a little bit of a surprise when they get to their sophomore
okay.
year.
So we're not going to, we won't flush you for any information right now. You've got two more items I want to talk about, and one of them is in April, and that's the Rain Barrel Scavenger Hunt. That
yes.
sounds fascinating.
Yes, we partnered with the Water District, and they're providing us with rain barrels at the high school, and we're going to have our art students, hopefully at multiple sites,
right.
paint them. And then we're partnering up again with community members to host the rain barrels at their organizations, and then we'll have a little scavenger hunt via social media where you can take your picture in front of the rain barrel and we'll have a raffle going.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
How many rain barrels?
So I think it's between 8 to 10.
Okay.
So they'll be at 10 spots within town.
Oh, fantastic. And then the Senior Service Day happens on May 23rd. What are the seniors going to be doing?
This is one of my favorite events. We did it last year and we brought it back this year because we had such a response. The seniors will be in our gym packing over 70,000 meals that we will be sending to a third world country.
I love that.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. You're speaking my language right now. I absolutely love the work you're doing.
Thank you.
And I want to take this moment to invite you back anytime and every time when you have something coming up. Let's talk about each of these individually because they all deserve merit on their own.
We would love that.
All right. And Zoe and Eliana, have you read each other's articles?
No, so we're super excited to get to see the digital anthology and read it.
Okay, and I can't thank you both enough, for taking the time and effort to research our fire, which affected all of us. If you lived here and if you remember the fires, you know how much it affected you, and you brought up a great point of the help that others gave each other. It was a wonderful moment at the same time that we were suffering tragedy. I felt that wonderful moment of being able to help my neighbors, and it gives you a great feeling. I'm delighted that you three are in our world. I really am. Zoe Tran, Eliana Merritt, and Sarah Benson, thank you so very much for being here today.
Thank you.
Pleasure speaking with all of you. It's 10:44.